never found me, yes. Jesus' blood never found me, yes. This one thing I know, for he loves
me so. The sinking of the Titanic started life as a sort of response to what kind of piece of music would a conceptual piece of music be? If actual information can be transformed into poetry, the band were playing, if you like, on the ocean surface, and they continued to play until the moment, in fact, we don't know when they stopped, because they were certainly playing as the ship went down.
Technical Ecstasy, Wednesday at midnight.
Here on listener-supported WBAI, non-commercial radio in New York.
Wednesday.
Any race of dog, two-legged dog, that will fix four-legged dogs on innocent, harmless women, children, and babies.
I'm not an integrationist. Never could be. I couldn't integrate with my enemy. And I know who my enemy is. The injustice that has been inflicted upon Negroes in this country by Uncle Sam is criminal. Uncle Sam is criminal.
Malcolm X, 36 hours, beginning Friday, May 19th, Malcolm X's 70th birthday, starting at 6 a.m.
We declare our rights on this earth to be a man, to be a human being, to be respected as a human being, to be given the rights of a human being.
To be or not to be. Now that ain't a question that too many black folks be asking. We be too busy just being.
Any mean necessary.
Only on WBAI 99.5 FM.
We're at 7 minutes after 9 o'clock, and hey, we're almost an hour early. This is an expanded edition of Off the Hook.
Mundia, at the Terra Marca Colletta,
Yeah, that's our opening theme for tonight. Of course, it was Baparni, but we all know that. Intermix from the What is Bhangra CD. And you know, that didn't bring in very many calls. I was sort of hoping people would take the hint and call in and pledge support while we were playing that, but I guess I have to be a little bit more direct. But this is Off the Hook. We're on for 2 hours, 45 minutes tonight. This is Emmanuel Goldstein, and the next voice you hear will be that of Fiber Optic.
Yes.
Hi. And that's what we're going to be doing tonight, is talking about various other things, such as high technology, the internet, the future, the past, and the somewhat troubling present. And, of course, we'll be asking for your support at 212-279-3400. But, no, don't call yet. All the lines are tied up. Well, this is such a hassle. Look, people, don't call in yet. I mean, you know, just save your wallets for a few minutes till we tell you what we have. People are so eager to just throw their money to us. Actually, I'm joking. There's not a single line lit, but I just figured I'd be sarcastic. Okay, we have all kinds of special things for you tonight to help make it a little bit easier and to help us reach our goals. So far, we're at zero. Okay, now we're starting off. And that's a good place to be at the beginning, is zero. Because we haven't asked for anything yet. But we expect that to change, because we have a few special things to offer to you, and we'll be doing that throughout the course of the evening. We'll be on until 11:45 tonight. But before we get started with that, Fiber, anything new with you as far as the world of the net? Or
the world of the net.
Things like that.
Let's see, what's new? Actually, I spoke to someone at Motorola, who everyone probably knows, is a really top manufacturer of beepers and cellular phones and so on.
Mm-hmm.
Motorola came out with an ISDN terminal adapter that's was previously known as the TA210, but that'd probably be kind of hard to remember. So they improved it a little bit and changed the name to the BitSurfer.
There you go.
And the BitSurfer seems like it's going to be geared towards more artistic people, since it's going to be released in an assortment of colors, just as the Bravo Plus beepers are.
So, well, first of all, why don't you tell us what this thing is?
Okay,
then we can talk about the colors.
The Motorola BitSurfer is an ISDN terminal adapter. It's one of these all-in-one boxes. It gives you a network terminator built in, so you can plug it directly into your phone line with the ISDN service on it.
So, okay, now we have ISDN service now, so the next step for us would be to get one of these terminal servers.
Right. You get one of these terminal adapters, plug it into the wall, and what it provides you with is a real analog interface,
mm-hmm.
so you could plug in a normal telephone, fax machine, or modem if you wanted to, and it also provides you with a high-speed serial port,
okay.
which you could connect to the serial port on your Mac or PC. And I think it's a really nice all-in-one piece of hardware if you want to get ISDN service without the muss or the fuss.
Sounds good. And is this available right now?
It's coming out fairly soon. It's it should be out within the next couple of months, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's supposed to cost, I believe, between $300 and $400.
Really?
That's
and that's
relatively cheap.
Would that be everything that somebody would need getting ISDN phone service?
There's nothing else they would need to buy.
Really?
Yeah, it's like the perfect introductory ISDN product for single user, the end user.
Now talk about the colors.
Yeah, I noticed on their webpage, which people can check out if they point their browser to www.mott.com. And
is that Mott as in Mott Street or?
No, one T.
Mott as in Motley. Okay.
Yeah, Mott as in Motley. And if you go to alphabetical listing of products under B, you'll see Bit Surfer, which incidentally is spelled S-U-R-F-R. There's no E.
Okay.
It's part of the whole trend thing.
Yeah, trendy.
But I noticed on the main page for the product info, they had two Bit Surfers depicted. One of them was black,
mm-hmm.
and the other one was purple with gold lettering. So I, one of the first questions I had when I called up Motorola was, you know, how did the two models differ? I noticed there was a purple and a black one.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy informed me that apparently they were both exactly the same.
Just the colors.
Yeah, just the colors were different. And
well, it's to match the kids carrying the school bags with the
yeah.
translucent colors, you know.
So I said, so then it like clicked in my head. I said, gee, you guys are going to do the same thing as you did with the beepers, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
With different colors.
I want a clear one then.
Do you?
Yeah,
yeah,
I want a transparent
cool, a clear one.
There, you see all the components moving.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's that sounds fascinating. So, are you gonna get one?
Yeah, I'm definitely. I'm supposed to be demoing one fairly soon, and I do plan on buying one.
Okay. Well, we'll have to keep the folks updated. That's technically the Quest for ISDN is still on, although the 9X part of it seems to be over for now.
Yeah, they've kind of fulfilled their end of the bargain.
Yeah. Although we don't know because we're not really using our ISDN lines yet. If in fact they are still working, because they could they could just disconnect them, and we wouldn't know until we plug something in.
That's true.
Because that happened to one of my other phone lines, one of the ones I do use. I
yeah.
happened to notice that it wasn't working at all. And do you know what they did? They came on a Sunday. I reported a hum on the line on Saturday, and they said they wouldn't be able to get to it until the next week. They came on Sunday, woke me up, and to ask me what was wrong. I mean, they didn't have it on their form,
yeah.
apparently, but I was amazed that they came on a Sunday.
Hmm.
Not amazed enough not to be angry that they woke me up, but I was amazed. All right, well, that's a little bit of an update there. We'll have more coming up in just a little bit. Now, remember why we're all here today, folks. We're here because we need to keep the station going. We need to keep this radio program strong, and to keep topics like this, like the many ones that that we've heard in the past, on the air. And we'll have updates on the Bernie S. situation, on the Kevin Mitnick story in just a little bit as well. But we do need you to call 212-279-3400. Today we have a special deal, but we only have five of them. I might want to even start calling before I describe it because, you know, in case you want one. Okay, we only have five of these. Now, courtesy of the Internet service in New York called Escape.com, we have five, what do we call this, PPP accounts? Is that right? The Roman Kazan, proprietor of Escape.
Right, they're PPP and shell accounts.
Okay, so you're going to describe for us what PPP accounts are, but I'm going to say if you call 212-279-3400, first five callers who pledge $150 will get a six-month unlimited access PPP account. Now, for the benefit of the people out there, what is that?
Okay, PPP actually connects you directly to the Internet as if you are a node on the Internet. For instance, students at universities have this kind of access.
Mm-hmm.
It will connect you through a modem.
Uh-huh.
Can I just do this in a few minutes? I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay, well, while you're trying to collect yourself there, PPP is a service that allows you to have full access to the net, and as if you're a site, as if you are somebody. Fiverr, maybe you could explain this better. Go ahead.
Should I?
Yes.
All right. PPP is the point-to-point protocol. It basically allows you to connect your PC or Mac or what have you directly to the Internet using a normal dial-up line with a high-speed modem.
Mm-hmm.
And allows you to do various things like surf the web. I use the term surf loosely. And allows you to use Mosaic or Netscape, for example, the graphical web browsers that I'm sure people may or may not have heard lots about.
Mm-hmm.
And
this is like the wave. It's not the wave of the future anymore. It's the wave of the present. Because
yeah, it seems to be where it's at right now as far as people and the net are concerned. It's like on the one hand you can have an access just strictly to, say, an online service or, say, a Unix shell and use commands that would allow you to access Internet services.
Mm-hmm.
But with Slipper PPP access, it's as if your computer is directly connected to the net.
Mm-hmm.
So you could take advantage of all kinds of services directly, which you couldn't ordinarily do.
Well, let's just show an example of someone with a shell account. That's where you get an actual prompt, Unix prompt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with PPP, though, you have a series of what is it, icons? And
Basically, with PPP, your computer negotiates with the service provider that you're subscribing to,
mm-hmm.
which the service provider would issue you an actual address on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And which your PC at home is actually known by that address.
So it's like you're just on the net yourself.
It's like being there. It's like you've just kind of, you've become an extension of the Internet itself.
Mm-hmm. That's something that that we've just gotten over at 2600. We have a PPP account, and it's changed everything. You can just walk over to your computer, hit a button, see if you have mail. You can you don't have to worry about busy signals. You don't have to worry about constantly redialing and trying to get in. So it's really, I would say this is something that if you've never really experienced the net, if you think you're into the net, you like the net, and you want to experience it to the fullest, this is something that you should try. And I don't know how many we have left, but it's limited. 212-279-3400 for every pledge of $150. We only have five of these. You'll get a six-month PPP account or shell account, too. You can also use shell. They're not restricted at all. Toescape.com, which is local to New York City. So if you're anywhere within 212 or 718, you will be able to access that without any cost whatsoever other than a local phone call. 212-279-3400, that is our phone number. Again, for a $150 pledge, we're offering that six-month unlimited access. You can call up. You can make your pledge. You can call up, and you can stay connected for 6 months from now, day and night. You can do that. That's how it works. That's how the net works. So if this is not Prodigy and AOL and CompuServe and all that garbage. This is something completely different because unlike those services, true Internet access does not charge you tons and tons of money to do basic things. Somebody I know recently, somebody I know secondhand, got an AOL bill for a month. Of how much do you think it was?
$600.
$1,500. And they're still on AOL. You know, for $1,500, you'd think that maybe you were able to move away from AOL. You know, that'd be sort of a fee to break the habit. But no, $1,500, and they're still just an AOL user. You know, that is what people are doing. One month. So we're saying for a tenth the price of what that foolish person did in 1 month, you can have 6 months, unlimited access. You can do hundreds of times the amount of things that AOL permits you to do. AOL people, I don't really have anything against them other than the fact that there's too damn many of them. They don't really have a sense of what the net is all about. You know, people on AOL get flamed all the time on Usenet. And the reason for that is because they haven't been taught how the net works. When you use your PPP from Escape, you'll have some sense of what's going on because you'll see other people that have been part of the whole process. There are teachers there. There are people that will guide you. There are people that will be happy to show you the ropes and to gently correct you if you do something terribly wrong. And that's just the way it is. 212-279-3400. They may all be gone. I'm not sure. We have about three or four lines taken. So if you have your doubts, remember we take Visa and MasterCard. So give us a call. 212-279-3400. And that's really about all I can say as far as that goes. Any other words? Roman, you going to try again?
Yeah, I'm sorry about before. I was not prepared.
Okay.
Basically, you remember a few weeks ago, we did iPhone. We communicated with people all around the world on the Internet.
Uh-huh.
You could do that through a PPP account and only a PPP account.
That's right. You cannot do that from a shell.
That's one of those many things you can do.
You cannot do that from a shell account.
And for that $150 price, you basically get complete Internet access. There's nothing more than this.
Mm-hmm.
This is the whole works. You get a shell Unix account. You get a slip PPP account.
Mm-hmm.
When you say full Internet access, this is it. There's nothing more than this.
Well, other than being a service provider like you, but I guess that's a step that not very many people are likely to take. Tell us, you've been around now for how long? How long has Escape.com been here?
About a year and a half now.
A year and a half, and you've grown tremendously in that time.
Oh, God, we're signing up people left and right now.
Well, that's a good thing, isn't it? That's something you want. You want to see that
happen. A lot of work, but yes, it's great.
Now, Roman is not like all the other service providers. This is not like Netcom and CompuServe and all that. Roman started it up all by himself. He's hired a few people to help him out, and it's kind of like almost a family business.
Yeah, but we have about like four or five people working for us now.
Mm-hmm.
And it grew. It started from a bulletin board in 1987.
An Amiga bulletin board, I believe, right?
Commodore 64.
Commodore
64.
First. So, I mean, you know, good things can come out of Commodores. It's his living proof. Well, I'm just trying to dispel the rumors.
Well, thanks.
Yeah. So if there's any left, give us a call, 212-279-3400, and ask our volunteers standing by. Speaking of volunteers, we need volunteers, so if anyone out there feels like coming down to the radio station, helping out, answering the phones, either now or any time, you can also call this very same number and say that you wish to become a volunteer, 212-279-3400. But once again, just to wrap this up, I'm assuming that if there are any left, there's maybe one or two, 212-279-3400, $150 pledge. You will get 6 months unlimited access to escape.com via PPP and or shell access. You won't beat that price. You really won't, as far as being able to support the radio station, having unlimited access to the net in that particular way. It's the kind of thing that doesn't come along all that often.
There's one more thing that's included,
yeah,
which we didn't mention. Everyone gets a personal web page with their account for free.
Oh, cool.
So they could even put up their own web page.
Wow. Now, we have some web designers here, don't we?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Someone come up and tell us what webs are like, what a web page is like. What can you do with a web page? Try to move the microphone as much as possible to make all the noise you possibly can. All right. Go ahead.
Okay. What is a web page?
Who are you first?
My name is Jim Vicente. I'm half owner and principal of Esoteric Resources Incorporated. We're a computer training, documentation, and web page writing firm here in New York. And we're also a couple of ex-hackers, but we won't talk about our sordid past. What is a web page? The World Wide Web is a way of graphically accessing information on the Internet. If you have what's known as a shell account, you have what looks like just a text-based method of looking at the information. It looks like those old teletypes you see in your typical old science fiction or World War III movie, except now it's on a screen instead of on an endless scroll of paper. What the World Wide Web does is it puts up on your PC or Mac screen whatever pictures the person who wrote that page wants you to see. It looks a lot better. You're able to see whatever they want to put up. You can also, if you have the right viewer, you can also see little movies, download sound clips, access sound clips off their web page. There are literally hundreds of thousands of them out there, and it's sort of like what the printing press was in 1500. It's a new technology that gives everyone the power to put up whatever information they want.
Well, it's interesting seeing all these businesses getting involved, because there are lots of Fortune 500 companies that are putting up their web pages. What are they doing with these web pages?
Well, the really interesting thing, I'm the other half of Esoteric Resources, is the people can access information about a company, and not only can they see pictures or movies or little video clips or sounds, but they can actually connect to computers all over the Internet without knowing where the hell they're going.
Mm-hmm.
They can use hypertext, click on a topic, and they could be sent to a computer halfway across the world. You don't need to know that anymore. That's what the World Wide Web, that's the beauty of it, and that's why these corporations are getting into it. Before now, it was really hard for the average user to get anywhere
mm-hmm.
on the Internet.
Now, what's an average user going to do with a homepage? Why would somebody want their own homepage? Give us an example.
I don't know. They think they have something they want to say to the world.
Uh-huh. Show a picture of themselves?
Picture, or what your cat looks like, the view out your window,
mm-hmm.
some special topic that you're interested in.
And is it hard for somebody with that experience to learn how to do this?
Not particularly.
Uh-huh.
In fact, more and more commercially available products are, even Microsoft Word now has an add-on that you can download, and you can actually generate your own homepage.
Well, if you see a homepage that you like, you can actually download the code for that homepage and look at how they did it, and then do it yourself.
Sure, you can copy it, change the actual text, and I'm sure you can draw a graphic, and if you can't, you can probably find someone who can help you.
Mm-hmm. And you can link to other homepages.
Absolutely. So anything you've found that you like, you can make a hypertext link. It's real simple. Once you spend any time on the net, you know, most people who are bright enough to listen to this radio show can probably figure it out for themselves.
Okay, so it's worth the investment. But you know, we forgot the most important part of all. $150 will be going to WBAI, helping make us stronger, helping to keep us out of the clutches of those evil people in Washington, D.C. that want to shut us down. And they have not said so. They have not gone out, or have they? I don't know. Some people say they have, but they have not specifically stood up on the podium and said, we aim to shut down WBAI in New York. However, they have made certain indications that they find the kinds of programs that we have objectionable and something that that they don't think that federal funds should be supporting. Now, we get all kinds of matching grants from various organizations, as far as Corporation for Public Broadcasting or whatnot. I'm not exactly sure how it works, but I know we get federal funds that are being threatened to be cut off, and we could lose hundreds of thousands of dollars as a result of this, and that will in effect strangle us without the support of our listeners. A couple of years ago we were talking about Robert Mapplethorpe and how certain objectionable paintings were being looked at as something the federal government did not want to endorse by providing any kinds of funding for development. That was their way of looking at it, the way certain conservative senators were looking at things. They view certain pictures, certain ideas as pornographic, and so they convince a lot of people not to support that and to speak out against it, and it makes things very difficult. It makes things very combative. Now it's progressed. It's progressed a little bit beyond that, beyond paintings, beyond poetry, beyond books. Now it's radio. Now it's Pacifica in particular. We will be the first heads on the chopping block as far as that kind of thing goes, and NPR won't be far behind. So if you support the radio station, then supporting this radio program should be something that you take a natural interest in. We're trying to make it easier for you. But, you know, even if we didn't have anything to offer you in return other than the radio station itself, I would hope that you would call up and contribute whatever you could afford. 212-279-3400 is our telephone number. And we're offering, we haven't been updated yet. You might want to call and ask if any of those are available. The six-month PPP accounts to escape.com. If you're anywhere local to New York City, 212-718 area codes. It would be a very worthwhile thing to try out for 6 months. And, you know, even if you don't have a computer yet or if you don't have a phone line set up yet, you can start this whenever you wish. If you want to start 2 months down the road for 6 months, that's fine. They're very flexible down there at Escape. Roman, we should also give you the opportunity to give out some information about your service for those people that might be interested in just calling up to find out more about you.
Sure. We provide complete Internet access, as you know. The cost of our service is $19.95 a month. That includes a slip PVP and a shell account. And we can be reached at area code 212-888-8780 between the hours of 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. Monday through Friday.
Okay. And again, thanks very much for providing this service to us. And again, our phone number is 212-279-3400. Now, if by some chance you don't want that, and you would prefer something else instead, we have a couple of other things. And I'll go over one of them now, and then we'll go over another one later. We have 2600 Magazine, a full year of 2600 Magazine, the most controversial hacker zine around, I think. Probably one of the few hacker zines around. And also a controversial 2600 T-shirt, which I understand. I've only heard this as a rumor. I understand the design of the 2600 T-shirts is about to change. So, if you have not gotten one of these yet, you would do well to call up now, pledge $75, and get a one-year subscription and a 2600 T-shirt sent wherever you tell us to send it. That's right, we'll do that. So, for a pledge of $150, a six-month PPP account at Escape, or for a pledge of $75, a 2600 subscription and a 2600 T-shirt. And on that 2600 T-shirt is a schematic of a blue box, which people rumor is illegal to wear in California, but we're not sure about that yet. And all kinds of hacker articles on the back of the shirt. It's white lettering on black background. When you wear that shirt, people will know. People will know that you are the kind of person that takes great pride in learning things. That takes great pride in hammering away at the answers until you get what it is that you're looking for. That's kind of what the hacker world is all about. And we're proud of it here at Off the Hook. I think we're proud of it here at WBAI in general. So, again, that phone number is 212-279-3400. All right, we'll be back in a couple of minutes with some special guests. Until then, keep those phones ringing. Remember, this is Off the Hook, the program that is proud to find out things.
I told you before, you won't wait on my door. Don't give me that brother. The priest on the phone won't leave me alone. So don't give me that
just found out that we've already hit $1,000. Isn't that something? Congratulations, everyone. Congratulations. All right. We're moving pretty fast, and all the PPPs are gone. Sorry. It's all gone there. And thank you very much, Roman, for providing that to us at escape.com. Remember, they can be reached at 212-888-8780 if you want some information on internet service in New York. And perhaps someday somewhere else, too. You might be expanding, right?
Yeah, hopefully by the end of summer, Long Island and New Jersey.
Wow. Well, those are certainly places to set your sights on. All right. Here's an interesting little note. There you go. That's our famous friendly red box tone, which Bernie S. is currently in prison for $100,000 bail. Boy, how about that? Those five tones, or one tone five times, can get you in a world of trouble. Well, we happen to know Bernie S. is in a federal penitentiary now in southern New Jersey. Fiber, I think you're familiar with the name of it.
Yeah, the exact place, from what you've told me, is Fairton, F-A-I-R-T-O-N.
Okay, and that's really all we know now is that he's at Fairton. We're trying to find out exactly what his prisoner number is, what his address is, so we can provide some sort of a gateway for people to mail him. We're going to try to get down there and visit him as well and find out just where this case stands. The Red Box case was dropped because I guess they just felt that wasn't the case there, and of course we felt that from the beginning. However, it was replaced with an equally bogus cellular phone case, having the software necessary to modify a cellular phone to do evil things. He was never charged with doing evil things, intending to do evil things, or anything quite like that, just having the knowledge to do it. And that's something that I fear we may see a lot more of in the future, prosecutions based on fear of knowledge. Well, knowledge is something that has come to the people of the Lower East Side in the way of an unused cyber cafe. You know, Fiber, weren't we saying a couple of years ago, wouldn't it be nice if there was a place where we could just sort of go hang out, have food, and be on the net?
It would be great.
I'm sorry, I didn't have your mic on. You want to repeat that?
Oh, yeah. It would be great if that were true.
Yes. Well, it's happened. It has happened. In fact, you and I have both been down there a few times. A new place downtown called the At Cafe. We have the two people that that started the At Cafe with us tonight. Nick Barnes, Glenn McGinnis, welcome to Off the Hook. Tell us something about where you got the idea to start a place like this and what it's all about.
Well, thank you. Well, we've been working on it for a while. Maybe hadn't thought of it about 3 years ago, but have certainly been thinking about it for the past year or so. Brought it into existence and opened it up to the public just about 3 weeks ago now. So we have 13 systems down there. We're running a T1 into the building, actually forced Ninex to do a little work, rip up the street on 3rd Avenue and draw some fiber into the building.
So you had to go through Ninex too. It was no choice.
Unfortunately, but at least we beat them up back a little bit. We can run currently 183 T's into the building. Haven't quite hooked that many in yet.
183? Wow.
That's what we were told. Of course, Ninex likes to throw different numbers at you, so we'll see when we start ordering them.
Uh-huh.
At any rate, we have Unix systems down there on the floor. We have Power Macs. We have PCs. They're all live 24/7. Unfortunately, we're not open 24 hours yet. Hopefully soon, if you guys
that would
get
be great.
Your butts down there.
That would
and,
be great.
Yeah, so we're running See You, See Me, which is video conferencing. People mm-hmm. have been getting psyched about that on the Macs, and as well as having a liquor license
uh-huh.
and pouring beers and shots as well. So,
well,
so
now,
that's where we stand.
The See You, See Me was interesting because we were in the cafe the other day, and we were watching people from around the world. We were also watching people from different parts of the world just kind of coming in over the screen and people talking back and forth to them. I mean, I know See You, See Me has been around for a little bit of time and a lot of people are playing with it, but I've never been in a situation where it's kind of like, you know, a place where a lot of people are at the same time and everyone's just sort of talking back and forth. I mean, you're sitting upstairs looking down at somebody, but you can see them on your computer screen and you can say hello to them and they can say hello back to you. No need for all this face-to-face stuff. And you can do the same thing to somebody in Belgium at the same exact moment.
Or the person in Belgium can introduce you to the person at the other table.
Exactly, exactly. So moments like that are I guess, pretty commonplace now. Although, when did you guys actually open?
As I said, just about 3 weeks ago on the 25th.
Uh-huh.
We haven't thrown the grand opening bash yet, but when we do, I'm sure you are all definitely invited.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and as far as See You, See Me stories, they are beginning to happen more frequently.
Mm-hmm.
Seal was actually on the other day, the musician,
mm-hmm.
and we had an interesting event down there with a couple of extreme fans showing their extreme affection over See You, See Me to Seal,
uh-huh.
and also to the rest of the restaurant. So,
what kind of
crazy things happening all the time?
What kind of response are you getting from the neighborhood, from the media, from people like
people
that?
Have been, people have been pretty positive about it. We really have all got our hearts in it, you know, trying to offer the best possible hardware, the best possible connectivity. Obviously, it's a fight all the time with all the different sort of links in the chain, but
mm-hmm.
it's been going pretty good. We're trying to serve some good food, and some good drink at the same time. And it's been great. We have a great space. It's in a beautiful building. We have some projection systems going so that you can actually see huge images, whether it's movies, animation, or actually seeing the internet itself. The crowd has been very interesting. We've had people all the way from the UN to people just around the street, you know, being very supportive, coming back,
You're in the old St. Mark's Books place on St. Mark's, is that right?
Exactly. Yeah. Trying to keep up the highbrow tradition of 12 St. Mark's, I guess. But yeah, actually, it was before it was St. Mark's Bookstore. It was actually a bar. So we're also bringing those spirits back to life.
What was it before St. Mark's Books?
What was it, Nick?
I think it was a Hungarian, just a Hungarian local East Village Hungarian bar, actually.
Really? I didn't know that.
Previous to that was the German-American Shooting Club. The building was built in...
No kidding.
Yeah.
The German-American Shooting Club.
Yeah.
Boy, that brings back some memories. Were they Germans and Americans shooting at each other, or were they shooting with each other?
It's interesting for the East Village to have that there. So.
Uh-huh. Well, that is something. So now it's the at cafe. Any trouble with Wired over using the at sign? No.
no trouble.
Okay,
man.
That's good. That's good. They wanted to trademark that. I heard.
Really?
Yeah. So now, what has been your biggest crisis so far as technical things? Have you fallen off the net a few times?
Actually, I'd say our biggest crisis is when we had a main pipe break over our computer room and had about 80 gallons of steaming water down around all the main systems.
Well, that's gotta hurt.
The day of opening. Yeah, it was interesting, but human shields can deflect water, which they did very well for about an hour.
Now, so, you have Macs and you have Unix systems, you said. What kind of Unix systems are you running?
We have Linux, free Unix, baby, running actually just on one system right now. We have some dumb terminals that are just right onto our main, which is also, we're running Linux downstairs, a combination of Linux and Solaris. And we hope to get more of them up quickly, just because, I mean, they're obviously such nice systems to work with the multitasking.
Now, do the waitresses have to know how to kill a process, or
absolutely?
Really? So
absolutely.
So people serving you food are actually they know about this kind of thing.
The staff has been phenomenal. It's a great crew, and it just shows how much interest is really out there, and because they're a great bunch of people, as well as being very knowledgeable about the internet. And in addition to the wait staff, we also have computer people just dedicated to helping people out with the net on the floor all the time.
How did you reach out to these people? How did you find them?
Through both over the net and through more conventional means, you know, just through the paper and word of mouth.
Really?
The internet did prove to be a great tool, though, in finding people as well.
Have you guys been on the net for a while before this?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I was at Cornell before I sort of got into this, and I was on, you know, from when I started at school. I'd been doing the bulletin board thing through high school, and just the internet, as for so many people.
You notice how a lot of these seem to spring from bulletin boards? Escape got started from a bulletin board. And you guys had bulletin board access or experience before that?
I think for people who were checking out bulletin boards way back when, that it's very obvious. It's just like a giant much more obviously than a bulletin board, much more to it, obviously. I don't want to make that comparison, but the roots are certainly there, just as like you can see the history and the evolution of Moos all the way back to Zork, you know, and that sort of view of things, I guess.
So now, what do you have planned for the future? What kinds of expansions?
Expansions?
You can't really grow.
You
can't really grow in that space, right? It's really...
With the virtue of virtual space, right? It's sort of unlimited. We've got plenty of room to cram systems in, and it's, as I said, it's a nice big space so plenty of people can get on down there and do some drinking. Hang on
now,
the computers.
Okay, that brings up an interesting point. Now, people drinking and using computers, you think that's a good mix?
Definitely. Yeah? Definitely, a great mix.
People become a little more creative?
A little more
adventurous?
Social? Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
You don't see computers as taking away from people's social life at all?
I have always seen additional technology as an addition to myself and to others, certainly. I mean... I see it as very empowering. I see the technology as very empowering to the individual if we use it correctly, and if we can keep the internet free and relatively free-flowing and not jammed up and keep it growing, that I think it can be a very empowering thing for all of us as individuals, as opposed to a more conforming government system and a more, I think, a society that would like to see us, or the powers that be would like to see mm-hmm. us conform to certain standards. I think the internet is an incredibly powerful tool to fight that and to remain independent.
Yeah, that is it exactly. In fact, I see the authorities kicking themselves for not getting a handle on this quicker, so that
they
could be the ones.
It's
too late because the Pandora's box has been opened. We've had a taste of it, and I don't think we're going to just let it go like this. And it's good to see you guys are you seem to have the right spirit about it all. One of the biggest questions though I get when I tell people about this place is, you have the computers right there on the table while people spill beer in the keyboard. What do you do? And how do you prevent things like that? How do you mix food and computers and all that?
Knock on wood, things have been going very well. We haven't mm-hmm. had any hardware failures yet. We've definitely had some bad spills, and I've really tried to place the systems out of the way and we've all spent a lot of time really trying to design the place to withstand shock. And we'll certainly continue to add things to prevent any sort of damage. But, I mean, the keyboards, we poured beer straight into them and cracked them open and put them under the faucet and hung them up to dry, and they're fine.
It sounds like you've done all this intentionally.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. Got a plan for those late-night parties.
Uh-huh. Sounds great. Well, tell us something about your provider, Fly.net. Is that your provider, or is that your address? That's you, Fly.net.
I mean, that's why we drew the fiber down to the building to make mm-hmm. sure that we had the capacity to provide service. That's something that we're looking at now. When we came up with the whole idea and concept, it's very important to us to provide, as I said, the best hardware that we possibly could and the best connectivity to find a really nice space, a great space, a great physical space, and then provide a great virtual space through the best equipment that we could put together. And it seemed to us that we would be the freest to provide that by creating our own service, thus Fly.net.
Mm-hmm.
So just like Escape.com, we have the capabilities in the restaurant to do all those different things, as well as hopefully get customers dialing in so that they can take advantage of the physical space and then go home and still take advantage of the virtual space of our systems. Mm-hmm. That I think there is a lot to be gained by being able to go in, work on a T1 at T1 access speeds, mm-hmm. be able to keep your stuff there, and then go home, dial in, and use it from home as well.
So you'll be providing accounts for people to keep their stuff on?
In the not-too-distant future, baby.
Mm-hmm. Great. So right now it's just pretty much guest access.
Absolutely. But we're definitely letting the good and the proud in right away to sort of test out the system and beat it up a little bit.
Yeah, well, that's actually a very smart move, letting people like us in first, so that we can break everything and show you what's wrong with it. Because has security been a big concern as far as starting this project?
Oh definitely. People like to.
I mean, keeping you up nights and making you worry a lot.
We try not to worry too much, but we.
I mean, you had fiber optic walk through the doors. I mean, did you get a little nervous?
Oh my God, we tried to run over and. Get him a beer as quickly as possible, but no, we've tried to really be open and make it so clear to people that they're really welcome to do pretty much damn well what they please through our systems. I guess I shouldn't say that without limitations,
mm-hmm.
but that it's really about we're very much a open system, and that we really have, I don't think, that much of interest to mess around with, and hopefully that people will see the advantages of just coming in and making themselves known, and then taking advantage of the resources, because that's certainly less of a pain in the ass.
Do you expect to see more places like this opening up?
I think it's inevitable. I think it's mm-hmm. It's obvious to us all that the technology is growing so fast that this will soon not even be something for the press. This will just be commonplace every day. It's just a matter mm-hmm. of access. This is, to me, it's just a very logical extension. To have it in a public place where you can come in and share it all around.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're going to start seeing it right out on the streets.
I saw something like this a couple of years ago in California. They had some in street cafes, but they weren't really tied into the net, and they were kind of clumsy and slow. And the most you could do is talk to somebody down the street, maybe, if they happened to be sitting there at that moment. No CUC, me, of course, it didn't exist then, so it wasn't really their fault.
Right.
But no access to the net. But you guys have blatant access. You're right there on the net. You can go into IRC. You can mail somebody something. You can telnet places. You can go on the World Wide Web. You can do all that. That's, for me, that's really amazing to be able to just walk into a place and do that. And I think that's really something good. Okay, so any other details you want to give out? When are you guys open?
We're open, as again, we're on 12 St. Mark's between 2nd and 3rd.
Mm-hmm.
You can see Astro Place from our doorstep, and you can see our giant at flag hanging out there.
Mm-hmm.
We are open during the week from 11 to 12. We're willing to stay open if the people are there.
You're not just open for an hour. You're open from
11 in the morning until 12.
Okay,
midnight.
I just wanted to make sure overly cautious.
That's
there.
That's right. And,
okay,
and
11.
Then, on the weekend.
That's too early. You know that.
Absolutely.
You got to stay open later than midnight.
I think that actually should be adjusted right now. I think that's more 11 to 2 on the weekdays, 11 to 4 on the weekends.
You just adjusted the time right now. Okay,
that's
fine.
For you listeners.
And for tonight, we're hoping to have a little bit of a party for you guys down there tonight in the listeners, please come down. Anything, of course, to support WBAI.
That sounds like fun. That sounds like a lot of fun. So maybe we'll pop on down there afterwards. And maybe we'll even come down after the 2600 meetings, and then you'll really see a mob of people.
Come on down, brothers.
You have a phone number you want to give out for people to get more information?
Certainly, yes. 212-979-5439. You can get most of the information you want from that number.
And of course, www.fly.net, mm-hmm. as well as info@fly.net.
Okay, and that's the At Cafe, 12 St. Mark's Place, in New York, the first of what we hope are many such establishments, providing access to the net as well as food and drink. It's the future coming right at you. Thanks very much for Nick Barnes and Glenn McGinnis for being with us tonight.
Thanks very much.
And that's just another example of what's how things are changing. We sort of saw this coming at one point, but here it is. Pretty amazing. So, we're here at WBAI, again, taking your pledges at 212-279-3400. We have another special offer that we're going to be giving you in just a few minutes, so stay tuned. But if you want to call up and show your support in the interim, we have we don't have any more PPP accounts. We're done with that, but we do have the 2600 subscription and the 2600 T-shirt soon to be out of print, 2600 T-shirt, for a pledge of $75. 212-279-3400. Give us a call while this music is playing. Thank you.